Blog Talk Radio.
Friday afternoon edition of the show. It is said that when you really enjoy your job, it's not really work. And that might explain why our guest has never missed a day in his 33 years with the Atlanta Hawks organization. But before I go any further, I want to welcome everyone who might be listening on blogtalkradio.com/IMTN Worldwide. Make sure you're following the show on Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Make sure you're following also on Twitter, IMTM Radio, and you can download the show on Spreaker, Spotify, and also Google Play Music. Go ahead and introduce our co-host, of course, Mr. Jordan Jackson. He is the website expert for ATL All Day via FanSided, which has several of his articles picked up by Bleacher Report. Jordan, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm living the dream, sir. You know, you just mentioned doing what you love to do. And so I'm blessed to be able to talk to a legend like Steve Holman today, and I'm thankful for it.
Great, great. So today, as I mentioned, we have, for a first time, a special guest I've wanted to have on the show for a long period of time. In sports radio broadcasting, I feel that there are three things that are very important: the ability to help visualize what is happening without being there, longevity, and then also to be a true fan of the team. And nobody represents this more than Hall of Fame play-by-play announcer of the Atlanta Hawks, Steve Holman. Steve, how are you doing this afternoon, sir?
Great, fellas. Thank you very much. It's nice to be with you this afternoon.
Thanks.
Appreciate you being here,
so
Steve.
Let's get right in. Thanks for, again, being available, of course, too. We know you're very busy. So let's get into it. First question, Steve. Why radio? Because you started at 17, but what was it that really pushed you in that direction in the first place?
Well, you know, when I was a kid, I mean, I was 17 to me as a kid now too, but, you know, when I was little, I used to listen to Johnny Most, the famous Celtics announcer, on radio. I listened to Kurt Gowdy on radio do Red Sox games, you know, and back then that was the big thing. And I decided that I wanted to get into radio at a very young age, even, you know, before I actually did. So I was, you know, lucky enough to be able to do it. But I got into radio and stayed in radio. And I think there's something special about it. Like you had mentioned before, you know, you kind of paint the picture for people and you make them see what's happening on the basketball court or the baseball field or football field or whatever. So I don't know. I just kind of I've always loved radio, and I think that it's kind of a dying art right now for a lot of announcers that come out of school and, you know, they want to go right into TV. And but there's a certain art to doing radio play-by-play that I think that, you know, we're trying to keep alive.
What were some of the things that helped you develop as a voice on the radio? You mentioned, you know, of course, basketball, but then other sports. And you mentioned it's a dying art. So what were some of the things that helped you develop your personal voice? Because, of course, a lot of people would say, well, that looks easy, but we know that it isn't. So what were some of the things that helped you?
Well, when I first started out, it was at my hometown radio station in Lawrence, Massachusetts. And the great Kurt Gowdy owned that radio station. And there was a program director there named Bruce Arnold who kind of took me under his wing. And I would just practice all the time. I would read the newspaper out loud. I would, you know, watch games on TV with the sound down and record them into my little tape recorder. And that's how I practiced. And that's how I, you know, that's how I did it. That's how I learned. And then I was, you know, very fortunate to be able to sit next to Johnny Most, the Celtics famous announcer for all those years before I came here to Atlanta in 1976 in the middle of a game is when he lost his voice and handed me the microphone. And so that was the first NBA game that I did. And then I did a couple of more weeks after that filling in for him. And one thing led to another. I got a job in Boston at the CBS station and ended up coming here with a guy named Mike Wheeler, who was our program director at WGST. And he brought me to Atlanta, and I've been here ever since.
Wow, that's an amazing story. So let me ask you this, because you actually filled in a couple of questions I was going to ask you, but coming down to Atlanta and then kind of, you know, maybe doing spot duty here and there, but then the opportunity came about to where you could be permanent play-by-play announcer. Why did you end up staying and choosing the Hawks? Because I always say, you know, some people can offer you an opportunity, but that doesn't mean you can accept it. So what was it about being in Atlanta? What caused that?
Well, you know, I was happy to come here. You know, when I did in 1980, I had an opportunity to do, you know, morning drive sports every day. I was able to do Falcons games the first year with Bob Beal, Harmon Wages, after that with Brad Nessler. And at that point, GST ended up with the games in the 85-86 season. So they, you know, nobody was really doing it. John Sterling was doing the games on radio and TV. So when he would do the TV, I would do the radio. And then when he left to go, do the Yankees in March of 89, that's when I really started counting these games. So, you know, I did a lot more. I never missed one from 85, 86 all the way through. But when he left to go to spring training on March 1st of 89 is when I started counting the games and in my consecutive streak. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to be able to do it. And opening night's going to be number 2,500, as it turns out, in New York at Madison Square Garden. So that's going to be kind of an exciting time.
It's definitely going to be a big time thing. Well, we're glad you're here for sure. Jordan, I know you had your a question for Steve. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, Mr. Holman, first of all, I do want to say that one of the first things I've noticed about you over the years is how much you interact, you know, with the Atlanta fans on social media like Twitter. But at the same time, you know, you just mentioned several legends, and I do want to let you know that we here in Atlanta, we definitely consider you to be among those legends, like the great Kirk Gowdy, Johnny Most, Brad Nessler, who you mentioned, and all the guys you've mentioned. And so it's definitely an honor and a privilege to listen to you all these years and get a chance to speak with you today, Mr. Holman.
Well, Jordan, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, you know, I love doing it. I always have. I want to keep doing it as long as they let me. And, you know, the Hawks have been terrific to me. And so, you know, I just hope to keep going for quite a while longer, too, because, you know, I work out every day. I feel good. I think I'm in better shape than I was 20 years ago. And, you know, I just can't wait for another season to start.
Outstanding, outstanding. Now, speaking of another season starting, Mr. Holman, you just mentioned the season opener against the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden will be your 2,500th consecutive game. A couple of things. Just one, speak on how special that's going to be, that milestone. And two, just a little bit on how the game has changed and evolved from your first game in 1989, you know, becoming a full-time broadcaster until now.
Well, you know, in the 1970s, when I worked with Johnny Most, I would go there for free, and I worked up the nerve to go sit with him, and finally he let me keep score for him, and I did that for, you know, several years, and then when he lost his voice, like I said, I took over and was able to get that job in Boston, and I was the PA announcer actually at the Celtics games for the last 2 years I was there. And the last year I was in Boston was 79-80, which was Larry Bird's rookie year. So that was quite a transformation. But, you know, in the middle 70s, the NBA was, you know, wasn't exactly where it is right now. I mean, you know, everybody talks about how really it all turned around when Magic and Larry came in. And, you know, they basically, I think, saved things back then and made it what it was. And David Stern came in shortly after that and became commissioner. And, you know, he was a great visionary and did the TV deals to start off with. And now we have Adam Silver in there as commissioner. And he's very progressive, too, as far as the, you know, the interaction with fans and this Y2K league that they've set up in the NBA. The Hawks are going to have a franchise in that. So, you know, I think what the NBA has done and why it's improved so much over the years is that they've been able to, you know, see things maybe before they were about to happen and look ahead and not wait for things to happen. They've been very forward in all of that. But as far as the game, you know, when I started doing the games, Dominique was there, Doc Rivers, you know, John Battle, Tree Rollins, all those guys, Randy Whitman. I mean, we had some great young players on that team, Cliff Levingston and Antoine Carr. I mean, they were athletic. And the thing Dominique talks about all the time, too, I think, is back then the game was much rougher. I mean, because of right now, you know, all the rule changes and everything else. But the guys were a lot bigger. I mean, you know, Dominique might now be listed as a strong forward, but back then he was, you know, just barely a three, and he's, you know, 6'8", 6'9". And, you know, you had guys like Karl Malone playing back in those days, and it was a rough and tumble game. So it's progressed over the years, and, you know, it's become more of a finesse type thing now. And of course, you see it all around the league with the three-pointers, and they have all the analytics people now. And, you know, some teams like Houston, they penalize their players if they take a mid-range jump shot now. So that's something that's really changed. Is when you see big guys coming out and able to hit three-pointers and, you know, everybody shooting them, and the game has just opened up like that. And that, to me, that's, you know, some of the biggest changes that have taken place.
Absolutely.
Steve, the 2017 Atlanta Hawks season was definitely an ultimate change for the franchise. We had certain players that were not re-signed. Of course, we had some players that were traded. The NBA draft brought in some new players. Of course, we know it was a rebuild year. Was the 2017 year, as far as a rebuild year, different than ones you've been able to actually experience in person for the Atlanta Hawks?
Well, you know, it was certainly different, but, you know, we all know what's coming and why what was being done is being done. And, you know, we ended up with three terrific picks this year in the first round. And, you know, I really think Trae Young is going to be a big-time player in the NBA. And, you know, and the three guys we drafted are all terrific kids. And, you know, we're in a position next year, if things fall right, to end up with three more first-round picks. And, you know, we've got the brand new arena opening up now too. So I think what they did was, you know, Travis Schlink, our general manager, and Tony Ressler, our owner, you know, Tony came in and, you know, looked at things and said, you know, this is nice that we've made the playoffs 10 straight years, but we just don't want to make the playoffs. We don't want to go halfway up the mountain. We want to go all the way up to the top of the mountain. And the way to do that is the way we're doing it right now. So, you know, they just don't want to make the playoffs anymore. You know, he wants a championship, and we've got this great new building that's going to be opening up October 24th when we play our first game there at the new State Farm Arena, which is going to be spectacular. And, you know, it's a special time, I think, and it's going to be our 50th season in Atlanta. There'll be a lot of celebrations this year for that, but at the same time, we're going to see all these young guys get a lot of playing time. John Collins, I think, is about to emerge as a real star after his rookie year. He was the outstanding player at the Las Vegas Summer League this year. And, you know, he's grown in leaps and bounds from his rookie year, and he had an outstanding rookie year. So I think we're going to see a lot of big things from him and Torian Prince. And, you know, now you bring in the three first-round picks to go along with somebody like Kent Bazemore, who's, you know, he's our, quote, veteran guy, but he's still a young guy too. So, I think it's going to be exciting, and, you know, we're certainly not ready to take that big jump this year right away, but it's on the way, and I think we're going to be better than people think we're going to be this year. But I think we're going to be in a great position to have three terrific first-round picks again.
Totally.
Jordan, I know you have another question.
Yes, sir. Steve, this will be the first season that you've called since 2004 without Josh Smith or Dennis Schroeder on the roster. No disrespect intended to those guys, But do you think their absence is going to be better for the emotional and cardiovascular health of yourself and the Hawks fan?
You know, I love both of those guys. I'll tell you, you know, Josh, you know, he would make you grab your chest sometimes with things that he would do. And, you know, Dennis, of course, you know, he had his moments too. And but they're both terrific kids. And, you know, I enjoyed being around both of them, really. I mean, but they would make you tear your hair out, you know, when you watch them. And the three-pointers and, you know, with Josh, I mean, I guess my famous things were always like, why, Josh, why have you taken that shot? You know, at Dennis, we had the for love of God thing. And, you know, for the love of God, Dennis just shot a three. And, that was a game. That was from a game that was in Sacramento. And it was like one in the morning back in Atlanta.
Steve, can you go ahead and do it for me then? Because that's actually what I was going to bring up, because I was going to say, you know, one of the reasons that people love you and love listening to you is because you do not hold back, you know, whether it be a bad call from a ref or something one of our players did, you know, you would go into for the love of God. So can you give us one for around the ACL?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I can remember that just like it was yesterday. And we were down by, I think, 1 point. And we had the ball for the final possession of the game, and Dennis dribbled it down and just heaved one up there that never came close to anything. And I was watching him do this, and I saw him kind of crank up to shoot a three, and I couldn't believe it was happening. And he let it go, and it didn't hit anything. And we were only down by 1 point, so I said, "Oh, for the love of God, he just shot a three." And that was one that sticks right now. I guess a lot of people still love to hear that. So. But that was one of those nights of, you know, I like to think of myself as a fan being there, like all the rest of the Hawks fans are, and you know, I just am lucky enough to get the chance to talk about it and describe it for people. And you know, if you're not able to be watching on TV, or if you're out in the car, or you're somewhere and going to work, going to school, going, you know, to the store, anything else. So that's why I like to be like kind of the eyes and ears and the mouthpiece for our fans.
Yeah, well, I definitely appreciate that aspect, because you just mentioned like going to work or coming from work and you're not able to, you know, get to where you can watch the game. Your play-by-play is just so excellent, but then all the other nuances that go along with it is like you're there at Phillips Arena or Barclays or wherever the Hawks might be playing that day. Steve,
the
a few
State
months
Farm
ago
– remember, it's State
oh, yeah.
Farm.
I'm about to get fined. Oh, my goodness. Steve, a few months ago, I forgot too. A few months ago, I said that 2018 would be the biggest offseason in Atlanta Hawks history, and it definitely hasn't disappointed, of course. And we mentioned some of those. The new arena, which I've already misnamed, us having a new coach. Of course, the total roster turnover, except for a few players. Of course, we mentioned the draft, the trades that we have as far as bringing quality bench strength to the team as well. What are you looking forward to this season the most, and what do you feel will be the most difficult obstacle for the team since it's really a brand-new team? What do you think the biggest obstacle the team has to overcome this year?
Well, you know, always when you get a lot of new players together, it takes a while for everything to gel, but I think that what they've done, Travis and his staff have brought in people that are going to be mentors to some of these young guys. I mean, Jeremy Lin's going to be terrific for Trae Young, I think. And, of course, then you bring in Vince Carter, who, you know, brings all that experience and can still play some. And he let everybody know that when he came here, you know, when they signed him. But he's going to be a great locker room influence. He's going to be kind of a, if you remember back a few years ago when the 60-win team, we had Elton Brand on that team, and you know, he was kind of the guy in the locker room that was like the mentor for everybody, and I think that's the role that Vince Carter's going to have to bring that to the table. But you know, these young guys are going to, you know, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch them, and like I say, I think Jeremy Lin's going to be great with Trae Young, the two of them together, you know, I think it's going to be fantastic to watch. And you know, and I think people are interested in what's happening here between Vince Carter, Jeremy Lin, Trae Young. I mean, we've got people interested, and you can see it like SportsCenter, and you know, we're getting some action on those shows that we haven't in a while. So I'm really excited about this. I don't know how many games we're going to win, but like I said earlier, I think we're going to be better than people think, and I'm just really looking forward to it.
It's going to be a fun year. Jordan, I know you have another
Absolutely.
Question.
Yes, sir. And Steve, you seem to be leading right towards my questions with your answers previous to on every question. But since you mentioned the buzz around we've had since Trae Young is being drafted, there definitely has been a major buzz on ESPN with national writers more than I can remember in recent years. Have you seen anything comparable to this since you've been with the Atlanta Hawks? How does it compare with the buzz around the Hawks during the Dominique times during your early years here?
Well, I think it's a little different because of Trae Young's coming in as a rookie and people are really waiting for him to blossom and develop. And when Dominique was here, people knew pretty much about him, the human highlight film and all of that. But he really was the centerpiece of all of that. We got a lot of national attention when Nick was playing and, he's still such a big part of the team and it's terrific to watch this whole thing develop. And, Dominique's as excited as anybody else is too, to watch this all develop and happen. And this brand new arena too is going to be really exciting. It's going to be something that nobody has seen in the NBA before with all of the things that we've got going on in there. They've got suites, mini suites, they've got cabanas, they've got, all kinds of things will be happening with the Killer Mike Barbershop. As Steve Coonan, our CEO, said the other day, we're the first professional arena to have a barbershop right in the arena where you can sit and watch the game. And there's going to be Top Golf, and Zach Brown's social club will be there. He's got a big local connection too. So I think it's really good. And all the local restaurants that they're going to have involved at the brand new State Farm Arena, I think it's just terrific. And that only adds a little icing to the cake, I think, of what's happening on the floor. And I love Lloyd Pierce, our new coach, young guy.
Yes.
He's only 42 years of age. And he can, I think he's really going to, sit well with our young guys. He'll be able to develop them, and everybody's going to grow together at the same time. And the new coaching staff is terrific. We've got, a bunch of new people on our medical staff too. So it's really, I think it's an exciting time to be a Hawks fan right now.
Yes, it is indeed.
Totally agree.
Steve, I only have one more question, but I do actually have a caller, if you don't mind. I'm going to go ahead and have him call it, bring him into the show real quick.
Sure.
Hey there.
Caller, go ahead and tell us the name and where you're calling from.
My name is Kurt, and I am actually calling you from the Bay Area in the east of San Francisco.
Wow. Well, nice to have you on, Kurt.
I'm a Twitter follower of yours, Steve. We communicate on Twitter from time to time. I met you at the Sacramento game a couple of years ago. We actually
yes,
went
Kurt,
last
I remember
year.
You. Yes, yes.
Yeah, but we couldn't get in last year. As you know, that was a fiasco.
Oh, that was the night of when we had a lockdown
the protest.
In Sacramento.
Yeah,
nobody
exactly.
could get in or out at that time. We had like 3,000 people there for the game that were there before all everything happened.
Exactly, yeah, and my wife and I were really looking forward to it. Well, as it turned out, I got refunded on those tickets, and I was able to buy one ticket to Oracle. That's the balance of ticket prices between the two venues at that point. But anyway, it was. I've been a huge fan. Love you. You're the reason I'm a Hawks fan. Your excitement and passion for the game. If I was as if I can be as big a fan as you, then I'm a very big fan. So I appreciate your calling game. I do remember another Dennis Schroeder moment last year when he shot a layup and we lost by 1 point. Do you remember that game?
Of course I do. Yeah, we were down by three, and he drove to the basket, and he kind of had a J.R. Smith moment, I guess, right there.
Yeah, and we lost by one, so. Yeah, it was. You were beside yourself. I was too. I was listening as well. But I just want to tell you, I look forward to this year here, and you call the games. This is going to be a very exciting season. I believe we are going to surprise some people. The East is a little bit wider open than we'd like it to be, but as far as that goes, we have a chance. I mean, we can compete. I thought we competed last year against higher echelon teams as well, so. Anyway.
No, they will. They'll compete. They'll show up every night. And like I say, it's going to be exciting with these young guys that we have. And I'm really looking forward to it. And, Kurt, thank you for all the years of listening, and I appreciate it.
I'll be looking you up. We're planning on going to Sacramento again. Maybe we won't have any issue like we had last year, but I look forward to maybe meeting you and Neek again. So
okay, that'll be great.
We'll definitely say hello. All right. Thanks, Steve. I'll keep listening
to the
show, guys. It's a good show.
All right,
have a good one.
Thanks for
bye now.
Bye.
Thanks, Kurt.
That was pretty cool.
Kurt's
right
a longtime
there.
Fan. He's on Twitter all the time, and he follows the team very closely.
Yeah, way from the Bay Area. That's real cool to have a Hawks fan call in from that far.
And that's one of the biggest things about, you know, just and I did a show a few months ago, what does it mean to be a sports fan? And, you know, from being there from the beginning all the way to whenever you do win a championship, it counts. You know, because you are literally following the team, you're following the players, you're following
right.
all the aspects of what's happening from, you know, point A to point Z, because you don't want to miss out to win when they do win. You don't want to be that person to be
right.
like, well, I've never even watched a basketball game until this year. You know, so I appreciate, you know, Kurt calling in and even talking about his experience there, which that lockout game, which we all do remember as well. That was definitely something different there, unfortunately, all the things that was happening. But
right.
those things are things that you remember, and we definitely appreciate that.
Well, I think a lot of the things that have happened, too, technology-wise, have really opened things up for the radio. You know, between Sirius XM carrying the games, you can get them anywhere now on the NBA Game Time app. You can listen to any broadcast of any game on radio, and I think it's only like $12.99 or something for the entire season. So that's really expanded yeah. things, and I hear from a lot of Hawks fans that are all over the place that, you know, are listening and in places that you know, you wouldn't expect to hear from Hawks fans, like Iraq, you know, some young guys that are serving our country that are, you know, they'll write in and say they're listening. We have some fans that are Hawks fans that live in Australia that listen to all of the games, you know, and we've got a Hawks fan who listens right before his concert, you know, the Imagine Dragons, and Daniel Platzman is from Atlanta. He's the drummer for that group, and he tells me all the time that he's listening right up until the time they go on stage. So, you know, that's
wow.
kind of fun to hear from people that are listening all over at different places, and, you know, you just don't know who's listening at any time, and that's what makes it a lot of fun. It's expanded way beyond just local radio for all of the teams around the NBA now, too, so which that's really helped and opened things up a lot.
Definitely. Jordan, I know you have one last question, and Steve, I have one last question for you as well. Go ahead, Jordan.
Okay.
Uh-oh, did we lose Jordan?
What happened, Jordan? Uh-oh. I think we may have lost
Jordan. I'm sorry, fellas. I'm here, fellas.
okay.
Last question for me, Steve. I don't know. I had a little glitch out there. Something happened. But last question for me, Steve, is I really do enjoy, like Kurt said, enjoy listening to your broadcast because of your passion for the team and the fact that you are able to paint that picture. I do remember a few years ago, though, that you and Mr. Dennis Scott, 3D, had a two-man booth in the radio for a while, and I thought the battle was phenomenal there as well. Do you miss sometimes having that second guy in the booth to have that back and forth banter with?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I loved having Dennis. We were 3 years together before he went on to big things on NBA TV and doing some of the TNT stuff now. But yeah, though, that was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun doing that. And you know, as it turns out, you know, we don't have an official color analyst on the games right now, but we do have Mike Conti, who does a terrific job with the, you know, pregame, halftime, postgame, and he comes in and out with me, and he'll come up with some real, you know, gems, some nuggets that he'll throw in there during the game. So it really makes it nice. But, you know, I've never been opposed to having anybody with me. And, you know, it's just worked out over the years that, you know, the way that's happened. But the 3 years I had with Dennis, I really had a lot of fun. And, we enjoyed that.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very fun to listen to.
It was great.
Even though, like I said, all the broadcasts are great, whether it's just you and Mike. Or rather, it's you know you and 3D like it was for those 3 years.
Yeah, that was special with 3D.
Steve, Steve, one last question for you. What is the best Atlanta Hawks game that you've called to date?
Well, you know, that I get asked that quite a bit. There are several. I mean, the one where, you know, Dominique became the all-time Hawks scoring leader, I think, is one of my favorites. To be there to call that, and the night that Lenny Wilkins broke Red Auerbach's record, I think that was a terrific time to be calling the game. More recently, I think the the 7-game series we took the Celtics to, you know, to start off that 10-year run of playoff runs was tremendous. Mm-hmm. And but I really think maybe my all-time favorite was during that 88 series, the Dominique Larry Bird series. And game seven was certainly, uh-huh, you know, something to remember. But to me, the biggest game, the best game that I've enjoyed calling was game five of that series. We had been down 2-0 in the series, came back tied at 2-2, went back to Boston, and nobody gave us a chance at all in that game five. And we, you know, the Hawks went in there and shocked the world that night. And won game five, came back here for a chance to win game six. And, you know, unfortunately that didn't happen at game six, the last second shot by Cliff Livingston that was supposed to be for Dominique. And Nick never lets him forget about it either. So, but that was quite a night. I mean, the Omni was rocking that night, and, you know, to think about all the different history we've had, you know, this will be the third brand new arena that's opening up, the State Farm Arena, on that same piece of dirt, that same land right there. And just think of
isn't
all the
that
history
amazing?
That's been there,
yeah, that's crazy,
since they built the Army in 1972, you know, and have it now come all the way full circle to this brand new state-of-the-art State Farm Arena, which is going to be, you know, really like nothing else that they've seen in the NBA right now. I just can't
Absolutely.
Wait to get in there and broadcast the game. It's going to be so much fun, and I think fans are going to really love it.
Live from
absolutely.
Downtown, right?
Yep.
Right, absolutely.
Well, Steve,
man. Some wonderful memories you just brought up as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's when you do it as long as I have, you get a lot of you just hope you can remember
well,
them all.
No, Steve, you're still a young man. Come on now. Well, Steve, it's been a real treat to have you on Around the ATL today. I'm very appreciative of the time you've taken out for us and the fans. Of course,
okay.
I'm excited for the season, and definitely listening to another 82 games this season. Can't wait to have you on the show again, maybe next year at the end of the year, to see how this year ended up turning out. And definitely can't wait to hear that time where you get to say Hawks are NBA champions. That's going to
yeah,
be the day of days.
I'm kind of looking. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that one too, fellas. I appreciate you having me on, and you know, just give me a call whenever you need me.
Where can
thank
people
you so
find
much,
you on,
Steve.
Social
so grateful
media,
to have
Steve.
You all.
Thank you, guys.
Steve. Oh, where can people find you on social media before you go?
Oh, I'm at the Twitter is Real Voice of Hawk. No S on it because there aren't enough letters. So it's Real Voice of Hawk. And on Instagram, I'm Voice of Hawks. And on Facebook, I'm Steve Holman Sr.
All right, excellent. Well, again, Steve, great. Thank you for being on the show. Thank you for taking the time, and we can't wait to hear you in the new State Farm Arena.
All right, fellas, thank you. I'll see you there. Make sure to
thank
come
you so
by.
Much,
there.
Take, care. Take care.
Okay, thank you.
Now, wasn't that fun, y'all?
Wow,
not often
tremendous.
We get to have someone like Steve on to the show. And, again, just, you know, he was really gracious with his time this afternoon as well. So I was you know, glad, of course, to, you know, switch things up a little bit. Again, most people know we don't do shows during the day as far as Around the ATL, but for Steve, we'll do it. We'll do anything. So, and thanks also
absolutely.
For calling in from the West Coast. What time is it? It's morning time over there still, right? So appreciate Kurt giving us a call into the show, 646-652-4479. So right now what we're going to do is take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and kind of go over the what we just talked about and talk, you know, a little bit more Hawks. So those who are listening, if you're especially if you're at work, don't forget, you can, you know, hit us up on the chat room or the Instagram page. Let us know what you thought about what Steve had to say about the team and the franchise or even his career. 646-652-4479 is the number. But in the meantime, we're going to be right back. This is Chris, Around the ATL. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Chris, IMTM Worldwide Radio on Around the ATL on a special 1 p.m. Show on a Friday, on the last day of August officially. Previously, we just had the Hall of Famer, Atlanta Hawks play-by-play broadcaster Steve Holman on the show. Definitely gave us some things to consider in regards to the Hawks franchise from being fans for however long you've been a fan, but, you know, being true fans, and just from his perspective, got a little bit of a glimpse of what he gets to experience on a regular basis, and then kind of see some of our fandom. You know, we had a person call from the West Coast to talk about, you know, getting a chance to meet Steve and just experiences just in general. And that's what a lot of this is all about, is just experiences and things that you remember over a long period of time, whether it be the games, themselves, whether just everything. So definitely appreciate Steve being here. Let's make sure our co-host Jordan is on the line. How you doing, Jordan?
Man, still just thinking about that interview, man, all the wealth of knowledge and history that Mr. Holman just gave us, man, and just his passion and his just like information that he gave us, man. That was such a treat, man. One of the biggest treats I've had as a fan of an Atlanta sports team, being able to talk to a guy like Mr. Holman. So I'm definitely grateful for that.
Yes, sir. Looks like we have another call. Let's go ahead and bring him into the show. Good afternoon, caller. Go ahead and tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Good afternoon, fellas. How you doing? This is Jamal here in Macon.
Hey, how you doing,
Jamal?
How you doing today?
Hey guys, yeah, I you know, like I said, I definitely want to big you guys up for getting Steve Holman on there. I wish I would have been able to hear the interview, but I'm here at work on my lunch hour, so I know you guys got to wrap the show up and I got to get back. But I just wanted to once again congratulate y'all for getting that interview, and I definitely can't wait to listen to it when I get home tonight. But I know that he probably gave you guys a lot of good information and tidbits that are very valuable to any Hawks fan, so I definitely can't wait to hear that. But I just wanted to kind of put one or two cents in real quick before I go
Go ahead.
I'm just excited. I'm just excited, man, about what's going on with our franchise, not only with the change in players and personnel, but just even the name change. When you think about a company like State Farm that has put their name on our building, that in and of itself is a big thing, because it's going to bring a lot of attention to Atlanta. We're going to have our arena in commercials, and people might not think that's a big thing, but a lot of people are visual like that, so they're going to see that, and they're going to be curious about what's going on in Atlanta. So I think it's really big, and the sky's the limit, in my opinion.
Yeah, a lot of people underestimate that, but think about what it did with the Clippers, and then now CP3 is with Houston, and how that's
right.
translated over. So it's not no fluke, you know, it's for real. So we don't have to get used to it, of course. You don't know, Jamal, but I kind of, you know, all of a sudden forgot we have a new arena just in like a day. But you'll hear it later.
Oh.
So we'll have to get used to it. have to get used to it. But it's going to be cool. Anything else you got for us, Jamal?
No, sir. Just like I said, I know it was a great interview. I can't wait to listen to it.
Oh, man, outstanding.
Yeah, man. I know you guys are doing an awesome job, and keep putting your name out there. We're definitely New Pack City. We're gonna big you guys up and shout you guys out at any opportunity. So appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate
Thanks,
it, Jamal. And we appreciate it definitely, Jamal. And I totally agree as far as the arena. That is a bigger thing than you think. I mean, that's a major company. It was just time for a change. Mm-hmm. Phillips is not what it used to be. And State Farm is at the top of their game. And, in fact, I do have State Farm insurance, so I'm already a supporter. So with the way the new arena, like Steve talking, you're going to hear the interview with Steve. Right. So we'll hear Steve talk about the new arena and all the amenities in the interview that we just did, man. And I do think it's going to be a big thing for the Hawks as far as for the fans, as well as a few agents around the league seeing the quality facilities that we have now as well.
Yes, sir. I agree. But I'm going to let you guys wrap it up, man. I got to get back to work. And y'all have a great day. Appreciate it.
You too, Jamal. Hey,
man,
appreciate
it. Now.
All right. Thank you, guys.
I was Jamal out of Macon, Georgia, another district that has full of Hawks fans, you know. And, again, you got to think about, you know, the state of Georgia and all the different cities, population-wise that don't get that much talk radio necessarily, you know, because of distance and things of that nature. But then think about the fans that actually do drive from Macon or in Albany or, you know, West Point or Sylvester, LaGrange, Columbus, Savannah, you know, all those different places where, you know, they want to know what's going on. They want to see what's going on. They want to get up close and personal. And where radio comes in to fill in that void. You know, it's a big thing, and Steve definitely has been a part of that for 33 straight years. Was it 2,500 games? 2,500 games going into New York, first game of the season. So it's a big deal to be able to follow this team for all this time. He mentioned history. You know, that game 6 in Atlanta in the Omni against the Celtics and Larry Bird that we were supposed to win, and we didn't. So, those are things that you always remember until the Hawks do win a championship, and all that stuff will be all those losses where we know we should have won. We were better than the other team. You know what I'm saying? All those things will be absolved finally, and then we go from there. So this is that new wave. We need to ride it, you know, as fans in general. And even if you are casual fans, you know, this might be that time where you finally dig in and say, okay, you know what? I'm not going to have 17 different hats in my house anymore. I'm going to throw all those other ones away. I'm going to just have these Atlanta Hawks hats from now on. Okay? No shade, but I'm just saying. 646-652-4479. So that being said, I'm going to go ahead and bring it up, Jordan. So there was a post that I saw the other day, just out of the blue, kind of intimating that in the 2019 season, depending on where we end up picking and all that kind of good stuff, is that, you know, we end up drafting a certain player that our starter at small forward, Torian Prince, should ride the bench. Jordan, what do you think about that?
I think that's a ridiculous notion to even suggest such a thing at this juncture in particular. We have not seen these incoming freshmen in college play not one single game against NCAA competition, rather than less NBA competition. You got a guy who averaged almost 20 points a game after the All-Star break for the Atlanta Hawks, and averaged almost 25 points a game in games that Dennis Schroeder did not play in after he sat down with the injury in Taurean Prince. So I'm excited to seeing him take the next step and possibly becoming an All-Star caliber player, as opposed to looking at possibly replacing him. In fact, of all the players on the Hawks team, I mean, he's among the last three I'd be looking at replacing. You know what I mean? So I totally think that's ridiculous. And furthermore, on that same post, because I saw this post that you were talking about, I saw a guy say that he would not draft the new Bowles son, Bobo, because he doesn't have the ability to gain weight. Sir, a lot of 18, 19-year-old kids don't have the ability to gain weight. When I was 17, 18, 19, I stayed between 175 and 185 pounds. I couldn't gain weight. But once I got older, I at one point had gotten to almost 280 pounds before slimming back down to 208. So to sit here and suggest anything about any of these young players is way premature, in my opinion.
Yeah. And again, it is part of being a fan, as far as opinions, but sometimes you got to back those opinions up with just a little bit of forethought as well, as well as just a little bit of common sense, just a little bit. 646-652-4479. So I couldn't resist bringing that particular story up. Of course, going into the season, you know, we are pretty much starting a whole new team, proverbially at point guard. Possibly at shooting guard, depending on where Baze ends up starting or coming off the bench, as I have suggested from the very beginning, by the way. And, of course, we have our, Prince and Collins are going to be starting. Denman's going to be starting. Some people have thought about whether or not Alex Lynn might end up coming into the starting lineup and Denman coming off the bench, which means that we would have proverbially three new starters possibly. But we know the whole bench has been changed over at this point, except for Tyler Dorsey. Tyler is still here, but it's just going to be interesting. It's going to be refreshing. Change is good, you know. When you do it with what's the word I'm looking for here? Change is good when you're needing change, for one, and then when you're smart about it. And one of the things,
right,
I'm excited about
calculated change.
Exactly, and on the defensive end of the ball, because, again, one of the things I say, I've been doing it since I don't know when, the Hawks lost 30 games last year by 10 points or less last year. It wasn't because we were not scoring the ball. It was because we were not stopping anybody. It was a big difference.
Three-point line.
You know what I'm saying? Three-point line, pick and rolls. I mean, there's at a certain point, just the communication factor, if that changes, how many times can we stop a team from killing us, gutting us, basically, on the pick and roll? You know, and so it's not like Stockton Malone are out there right now, y'all. So I'm just saying, it's so frustrating. So for me, it's a matter of just the change of that. And, yes, it's going to be the rookie wall syndrome and all that, and just getting used to playing with each other and everything. But the camaraderie part of it, I think we've already accomplished that. This team is going to be really into – helping each other out. I don't see any bad beefs going on or anything like that. Coach Pierce is definitely that player's coach. And I think that's going to play a large part into it. Steve Holman mentioned Vince Carter being here and also being,
yes,
able to still play, which he can. We've seen that over the years. It's going to be a joy to really watch what this team is going to end up turning into. And, again, a lot of people are going to be surprised. A lot of people ain't going to like it. There's some people out there who, unfortunately, are not going to like what's going to happen this year. And that's sad, but that's their right, okay? All I tell those people is, don't let other people know. Keep it to yourself at best. 646-652-4479. They're playing in New York. And I think a few people have mentioned, you know, Trae Young's first game in Madison Square Garden definitely could be a treat. or it could be a disaster, yes. I guess, right? But again, that's where you have that veteran leadership behind him, where you have Jeremy Lin, who, guess what? He started in New York. Jeremy Lin, who has millions of people that follow him all over wherever he goes. You know, so that will be that calming effect that definitely he'll need. You have some of the other players who played in Madison Square and give him a little, you know, a little bit of a prep in regards to what to expect. And then just let him get those first couple of, you know, butterflies out of the way, that first air ball possibly, and then let him play. You know, what do you think, Jordan?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it will possibly be an air ball, since his first shot in high school was an air ball. His first shots in college were an air ball, and his first shot in summer league was an air ball. So it is possible that first New York shot will be an air ball. In fact, go to ATLallDay.com and look for my article about seven interesting, intriguing matchups for the Hawks in this upcoming season. It is a spotlight on this, on that particular matchup. And I'm talking about it being Steve Holman's 2,500 game, as well as Trae Young making his Madison Square debut. But just to back up on what you said, I can't predict, well, I mean, I could predict, but I don't know exactly how many wins we'll have for sure. But I do think that this team has all the elements of an exciting team and a team that can be good down the road in today's NBA. We have the shooting. We have the point guard that's able to make passes with either hand and see the floor. We have athletic finishers like John Collins and Taurean Prince. Like I said, having shooters in addition to Trae Young, like a Kevin Huerter who can shoot with range, a Tyler Dorsey who can shoot the ball with range. So this team definitely has all the elements of being a very exciting team to watch, and a team that can grow into a championship caliber team, you know, in the years to come. Now, one thing I did see this week, Chris, is that we signed former number 5 overall pick from 2012, Thomas Robinson, to a non-guaranteed deal. My question for you is, do you think he has a chance to make this roster, being that we have so many more wings than we do bigs? And if so, who would he be possibly competing with for a final spot on the roster?
I mean, one of the things when they signed him, what I was thinking about was, I guess, the technical lateness that he got signed. And did that mean anything in particular, possibly, you know? And then it was like you say, you know, we do have a lot of wings. So then I'm thinking about, okay, well, who is most not likely to be able to stay on the roster per their contract, possibly, you know? So I don't know. We don't have a lot of bigs, per se, you know? You got people who can maybe play both the power forward and the center. I don't know if he's going to actually move anybody out unless they just don't play well. I mean, is Alex's Lin, but his first name is Alex also, right? I can't ever pronounce his last name. Pothras, is his contract guaranteed?
No, Alex Pothras is on a two-way contract, so I don't think that – I think Thomas Robinson may have too many years of service to qualify for a two-way. So I don't think that would be a possibility there. I mean, obviously, it's going to be an uphill battle for Thomas Robinson coming in this late. But also, he does have a physical talent being picked that high coming out of Kansas. And, you know, with him being on several different teams, that he is going to give it his all as far as in training camp trying to make this club. And so the one guy that I was looking at, and it's unfortunate, but it's a guy who was a first-round pick a couple years back, and that's DeAndre Bembry, who just can't seem to stay healthy so far. I do think he has talent to be a facilitator off the bench, a guy who can defend as well as distribute, but should he come into camp this year and be injured early and not play well, because he did have one of the worst turnover ratios in the NBA in limited minutes last year, that you could possibly see him be the wing that's the odd man out. I don't think it would be Justin Hamilton because of his defense and his familiarity with Coach Pierce. And I don't think it would be Mr. Hamilton either, because Hamilton can play point guard. And so I think he'll be the third point guard behind Trae Young and Jeremy Lin, being that Jalen Adams is on a two-way and can't be available all the time. So that's what I'm thinking, that, you know, it could come to those two.
It could be. I'll tell you who it could be. I don't know how they would pull it off, Plumlee?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. It had to be some kind of buyout with Plumlee, though, because his contract is guaranteed. And the thing is, it's guaranteed for like 2 more years, too. So, yeah, that'd be a dicey one
somebody,
right there.
I believe with the minutes that he got last year and the glimpses of what he could do, positive, I believe it could happen.
Yeah.
It's
possible, I just think we'd have to attach a draft pick to him, and I don't know that Travis Schlenk is willing to give away any picks to get rid of contracts at this point in time. But, I mean, you're right. He would make the most sense in terms of putting together the best possible roster for the Hawks moving forward.
Yeah. Well, that's where training camp comes in and the preseason games and see who outplays who. So that's where it's going to come down to, you know. This is all a learning experience, and this is a brand new team, a young team. It's going to be one of the younger teams in the NBA. So this is going to be, you know, trial and error. But at the end of the day, let's see if we have fun and see how many games we end up winning or not winning. I feel we're going to win more than people think, of course. And then we go from there, but it's a growth, you know, spurt. That we're going to get to see, you know, live and in living color. And I think hopefully everybody will support it. Again, live from downtown. They're making downtown a real downtown. So we really haven't had that in Atlanta all these years, technically. So, that's one of the dedications that Farm has made into this agreement, is that they want to be part of that transformation over a period of time as well, which is why they signed a 20-year contract. So,
right.
And that's exciting in itself, that they make that kind of a commitment to the franchise on their own. So it's a big time thing that's going on in Atlanta, and hopefully people don't wait until 3 years from now to get on board or even realize what's going on. And again, attach it to the other sports franchises we have in the city. Again, we have something going on here that hasn't happened. You know, and we need to really appreciate what's going on. So, that being said, we're going to get close to wrapping up the show. Jory, make sure you let everybody know where they can find your writings and, of course, where they can find you on social media.
Absolutely. And real quick, to back up what you were just saying there, I love the fact that the Hawks and the Falcons both are trying to put money into developing the community over there as well in the whole area. And I just think that that's a wonderful thing that's going to pay dividends off for this city outside of sports as well as with sports moving forward. Definitely appreciate everybody listening to this special edition. Shout out to Jamal Price, who called in and who also made a great logo for Around the ATL for us. Shout out to everybody in advance who's going to be listening to this show in podcast form. Appreciate you guys to listen afterwards as well. And don't get a chance to catch us live. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Jordan23ATL, read the site, download the fan-sided app, and favorite All Atlanta Sports. The website is www.atlallday.com. Once again, it's been an honor and a privilege to be on the show as always. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And last but not least, I got to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe to talk about these sports that I love so much.
Thank you, Jordan. Make sure everyone that is listening right now, please do the following whenever you get to do it, which should be right now because I'm asking you. Follow the show on IMTM Worldwide Radio. That way you'll never miss an upcoming show. Also on Twitter, if you have Twitter, IMTM Radio, and then download Spreaker or Spotify or Google Play Music and add IMTM Worldwide Radio. That way you always will keep up with all the shows. Want to say, give a special thanks to Steve Holman for coming on to the show today. He lent us so much of his time and energy and experience and experiences. So hopefully everyone who listened definitely got to enjoy that. Thanks for Kurt Byers for calling out from California, a real Hawks fan. Get to hear from him hopefully in the future. Of course, thanks to Jordan. Make sure you tune into the next episode of Around the ATL next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Until then, y'all take care. This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio, on Around the ATL.
We'll be right back.